Today's Shir Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tav Reish Mem Aleph, is starting new halachas, the halachas of the brachas on the sukkah, and the title of this Siman is She'im V'Varchan Shechiyanu Al Siyah Sukkah. You do not go ahead and make the bracha of Shechiyanu when you make the sukkah. Now, we're going to see that this Siman deals with the two brachos that one could recite regarding the building of a sukkah and sitting in the sukkah, that of a shechiyanu. So, a bracha on the mitzvah of making of the sukkah, what's the story there? So, generally, when we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha on the mitzvah. Shekhi shavu zavu tzivanu, on the mitzvah. So, by sukkah, as you know, the bracha is shekhi shavu zavu tzivanu leishnei b'sukkah. But, what about building a sukkah? It's a mitzvah. Or at least, it's an act that is a heksher mitzvah. So, perhaps we should say a bracha when we build this sukkah. So, here's what the Bavli says, although the Yishalmi actually hold you to make a bracha on Birchas HaMitzvah, on the building of the sukkah, we only make the bracha at the end, either because that's the Gemar HaMitzvah, even if the Asiyah is part of the mitzvah, not just the Heksher mitzvah, you still only make it at the Gemar of that mitzvah. And two, we have the issue of Shechiyanu, and the bracha of Shechiyanu, the Kiyman of Yelaz Manazeh, it's made on a joyous event that happens at certain times, such as when a Yom Tov comes, or when one does a mitzvah that has a particular time, or when one eats a new fruit or wears a new garment. This is what it's called Abba Mizman Lizman, things that come Mizman Lizman. So, since we make a sukkah only once a year, so perhaps we should recite a Shechiyanu when we build the sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch is going to pass in that we say neither of those brachas when building a sukkah, although we'll see that a Shechiyanu could be made when building, even though we don't go ahead and do so. So look what he says. Ha'osa sukkah, aleph. Ha'osa sukkah bein yatzu bein lachef. One builds a sukkah, whether for himself or for another person. Einu mevarech al asiyah. So number one is, he does not make a bracha over its making. Aleph, eino mevarach al asiyasa. She'ino asiyasa gemar mitzvah, because the asiyah is not the gemar mitzvah. It's not the completion of the mitzvah. She'avit tzarech leishim, but because he has to go ahead and he has to dwell in it. Okay, and as I pointed out, this is actually machlokas achronim how to classify the act of making a sukkah. Some maintain it's merely a preparation for dwelling in the sukkah, it's a heksher mitzvah for yeshiva sukkah. According to this opinion, the bracha is not said on making a sukkah because the bracha is said only on an actual mitzvah, not on a heksher mitzvah. However, others, the Aruch HaNer, check out Marcus Chesam Aleph, he's based on the Rashi there, he writes that there's an actual mitzvah to make a sukkah. This is learned from the Pasuk that, you know, the Chag of Sukkos, you should make for yourself, okay, make for yourself, which the Gemara understands to be referring to the sukkah itself. Nevertheless, you should make for yourself. And the Gemara understands this to be referring to the sukkah itself. So nevertheless, even though it is a mitzvah, like Yushalmi holds, it's a mitzvah, the building of the sukkah, still, you do not recite a bracha, Maruch Lener explains, on making the sukkah, because it's not an independent mitzvah. It's merely the beginning of the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah, is what we said in the intro, just spelling it out again. But again, as I pointed out, it should be noted that Yushalmi, quoted by the Tur, it's in Brachas Perektes, maintains that one does say the Bracha Shekisham Tzav when constructing a sukkah. Apparently, Yushalmi holds that making a sukkah is a mitzvah for itself. So, continuing on in the Shulchan Aruch, Aval Shechiyanu Hayaroi Levarech Yishoysa Yisa Liatva. Have a Shechiyanu, in principle, it would have been proper to go ahead and recite the Shechiyanu bracha when building the sukkah, when makes a sukkah, for himself, liatzmo, for himself. Elashanu soinchen al zman she'anu oimrim, but rather, we rely on the bracha, we rely for the Shechiyanu, the bracha of Shechiyanu, on the occasion when we say the what, the Shechiyanu, on the Kiddush cup when we are sitting in the sukkah performing the mitzvahs Kiddush Hayom. So you have a Shachianu there on the Yom of Sukkot, as well as on the Yeshiva of Sukkot. And you're saying the Shachianu for Yeshiva HaSukkot then, even though in principle you could have already said it at the Asiya, the Shachianu. So let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. It's like on Beis of Al-Shachianu. The Daf Kedavah Sha'isim HaSayim Yishanah L'Shanah. This, he says, is specifically referring to a mitzvah item that one makes every year. However, so in other words, any making of a mitzvah, of a chefetz shel mitzvah that you perform a mitzvah with, you can make a shechianu. So for example, if you're making a shofar or a megillah, you'd also be able to make a shechianu. So he says, no. I have a shofar, megillah, shoyser, so the kama shanim. However, when you're dealing with a shofar or megillah, which one makes to be used for many years, you don't make a shechianu over making them. Okay? So what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here is that only mitzvah items that are made each year, such as a sukkah, these require a bracha. Okay? We'll see also that another example with this, we'll see it later in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Lulav, really we did it, where we have done Yomi a little out of order here at Mevaseret, but by the binding of the Lulav, that also, okay, requires a Shechianu, since this is done once a year. But once again, we fulfill this obligation of the Shechianu when we do the actual mitzvah of lulav, taking the lulav by day of Sukkot. So here we see that shofar megillah is different, because when it comes to mitzvahs, Shechianu is recited only on a mitzvah that comes mizman lezvan. Mitzvah haba mizman lezvan comes from time to time, meaning it has a particular time, and it is done on a yearly basis. Shechianu expresses our appreciation to Hashem that He kept us alive for another year, so that we can once again do the mitzvah. So, but a mitzvah that is done once every few years does not require this bracha. So, you're not going to be going ahead and making a bracha when you write a megillah. You might not be writing the megillah for who knows how long, because you're going to be using that megillah from year to year. So the only shechianu is really shayach is the mitzvah of reading the megillah from year to year, the mitzvah of blowing the shofar from year to year. Okay, but lulav and sukkah, right, those every year you build again, you make them again, so a shechianu is appropriate to make even on the making. But even so, as the Shulchan Aruch said, we do not go ahead and make the bracha of shechianu when we build the sukkah. We wait until we sit in the sukkah and make kiddush, sifkat and gimel. When he builds the sukkah, right? So he says it's appropriate. It would be appropriate. Should make a shechianu for it, but he can make it later on. We said, and we should make it later on by the yeshiva. But again, kishayisasa, it is really appropriate and proper to recite the shechianu. As vuvadin emaisa asuya mikvar umechadish badaver. It says same applies. The sukkah was already made, and one adds something new to it. Right, same would be if the sukkah originally had only two walls, and now, right, and he goes ahead now and completes it by adding a third wall, or he adds some new schach. That is the yesod here. As we all know, a sukkah must have a minimum of two walls plus a partial third wall, and we know that a sukkah has to have a certain amount of schach to be kosher. So he goes ahead and he adds the wall or more schach to go ahead and validate it. So that obviously also would go ahead and be mechayev in principle of shechianu. Again, the making of the sukkah goes, and that is mechayev one in principle, say shechianu, just that we say the shechianu because we can go ahead and say one shechianu together when he ultimately sits in the sukkah, and he can say that shechianu together with the Yom Tov, the Kiddush, and the shechianu on the Yom Tov. Now, the Shulchan Aruch states that it would have been proper to recite shechianu when one makes a sukkah la'atzmo, for himself. So the Be'er Halacha deduces from this that if one made a sukkah for someone else, he's not required to recite shechianu. And the Levush explains that shechianu is specifically on the joy one feels when performing a mitzvah that comes at certain times. And a person feels this joy only when he builds his own sukkah. Okay? Be'er Halacha goes on and has a different explanation based on the opinion of Tosfos there. So you can check out the Be'er Halacha there. And just to appreciate, again, he says it in Kiddush because the Yom Tov of Sukkot itself, like every Yom Tov, requires a Shechiyanu, since it's a mitzvah that comes also from time to time. So what comes out really of this is as follows. If for whatever reason one is not eating in a Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, he must still say Shechiyanu at Kiddush due to the Yom Tov. Okay? The mitzvah of, right, in other words, let's say he's in the house and he's not eating in the Sukkah at night. So he has to say Shechiyanu on the Kiddush in the house, even though he's not sitting in the Sukkah. And the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah also requires a Shechiyanu independently, because it also is a mitzvah that comes from time to time. So there's the Yom Tov and there's the mitzvah. There's the Yom Tov that is Mechayev Shechiyanu, and the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah that's Mechayev Shechiyanu. So the Shechiyanu said Kiddush really covers for both of these Chiyuvim. The Shulchan Aruch here is basically stating that this Shechiyanu also includes a third thing, the making of the Sukkah. Right? That's the whole Vart here. And although one is not building the Sukkah at this time, since he's fulfilling the mitzvah of dwelling in the Sukkah, which is the purpose of building the Sukkah, the Shechiyanu is also connected to that act, even though it happens later. Now, based on all of this, when one says Shechiyanu at Kiddush, besides for having in mind the Yom Tov of Sukkot and the mitzvah of dwelling in the Sukkah, he really should also have in mind, people don't do this, for the Asiyas HaSukkah, for the building of the Sukkah. This is brought down in the Halichos V'Hanagos Tishrei. Now, why do we delay the Shechiyanu until Kiddush? Why? So nowadays, one person usually builds sukkahs for many people. So if the Shechiyanu would be said when building the sukkah, only the person making the sukkah would say the bracha, while the owners of the sukkah would not. In order to avoid having different people doing different things, everyone therefore waits until the Shechiyanu of the Kiddush. That is the approach of the Mordechai quoted in the Beis Yosef. However, this explanation of the Mordechai does not seem to fit with the approach of the Shulchan Aruch, because we explained above that when someone makes a sukkah for others, they say the bracha, not him. Okay? And Lavush explains the reasoning for what we're saying here in the opposite way. Since the owners of the sukkah would have to recite a Shechiyanu and not the builder, this might lead to confusion, right? What's the confusion? The confusion of who is supposed to say the bracha. Therefore, everyone does the same thing and uses the Shechiyanu at Kiddush for the making of the sukkah. Now, it should be noted that according to the Be'er Halacha, there's another reason to wait until Kiddush. Be'er Halacha brings a machlokes. This is this is in the Be'er Halacha, Ella She'anu, the bottom of Amud Aleph here. He quotes a machlokes amongst the poskim where the one who said Shechiyanu when building the sukkah says another Shechiyanu on the first night of Yom Tov. Some poskim maintain that he does not say Shechiyanu because the Shechiyanu on the sukkah covers also for the Yom Tov. So the Be'er Halacha concludes that one should not say the bracha since it is a suffix regarding brachos and therefore suffix brachos la'akel. So if one would say the bracha when making the sukkah, he might be chayiv to say it again at Kiddush on the first night, but he'll be unable to do so because he already made the bracha when at the Asiyah. By contrast, if he waits to recite the Shechiyanu until Kiddush, that bracha will certainly cover all the Shechiyanu obligations. Continuing on, says the Ramah, lo achal laila rishoyna b'sukkah. If one did not eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, afal pisha berach mamadeso, even though, as we said, he recited the bracha of Shechiyanu in his home that night, kishaochol basukkah, when he eats in the sukkah the next day, sarech levarech zman mishum ha-sukkah. When he goes and eats in the sukkah for that first time, let's say by day, he has to then recite the bracha of Shechiyanu on account of the mitzvah of sukkah, mishum ha-sukkah. And he says, v'berach zman b'shas asiyah sagileh, if one recited the bracha on the occasion, at the time, right, he made the bracha of zman, of Shechiyanu, at the time of the making of the asiyah of the sukkah, then it would be sufficient, it would be enough, because that bracha on asiyah will be good for the bracha of Shechiyanu on the yeshiva as well. Look at the Mr. Bruce of Kapi Hekisha Okel Ba Sukkah. So when he eats in the Sukkah, wrote to Lomar, Mr. Bruce says, the Machar Bayom, the next day, right? Again, at night he did not sit in the Sukkah, let's say it was raining or whatever, and he made Zman in the house. The next day when he sits in the Sukkah, he has to make the Shechianu, Sivkat Vav, Mishuma Sukkah, the Bracha Shabirach Meat, Mohveso, Iraq Shilachag. Because the bracha that he made in the house could not be on the mitzvah of sukkah because he wasn't doing the mitzvah of sukkah. That was only for Shechianu, for the chag itself. We continue on. Sif Siman, Taf Reish Mem Beis. Imchal Yom Rishon Shal Sukkahs Liyos B'Shabbos. So here we have that if the first day of sukkahs falls out on Shabbos, Omen Ba'arvis Bracha Achat Me'en Sheva B'Chosein Ba B'Shabbos B'Bad. We say it Ma'ariv, the bracha, right, the condensed bracha, right, Magen Avayis B'Yavayim V'Chayim Nisim. We say that bracha even though it's Sukkot, and Sukkot and Shabbos, we still say the bracha. But the chasima is not a chasima. The choisim bo b'Shabbos b'vad. The chasima, the bracha at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem, is just mekadesh Shabbos. It's not mekadesh Shabbos b'azmanim, right? Mekadesh Shabbos b'Yisrael b'azmanim. We don't say that. We only say Mekadesh HaShabbos in the Bracha Mein Sheva that is said. And the reason is obvious. The reason is obvious, as the Mishnah Berurah will explain, because the whole takana of the Bracha Achat Mein Sheva we say after Shmoneh Esrei, after Vayechulu, on every Shabbos, was specifically made for Shabbos. We'll see that soon. Let's first see Sivkat and Aleph. So, the Chal Yom Rishon Shel Sukkos, the first day of Sukkos falls out on Shabbos. So now the Mishnah Berurah is going to be talking about something known as the Maravis Piyut. Maravis is a piyut, is a type of poem that was added to the Ma'ariv Tefillah on Yom Tov. It's inserted into the bracha said before and after Kriya Shema. Piyutim are recited in some communities. Today, very rare, you have it by the Yekis, at various points in the davening on Yom Tov and on certain Shabbos, on special Shabboses of the year. It might be done in Shachris sometimes, but the one done in Shachris is not called Maravis. It's obviously, Maravis is the piyutim specifically at night. So the Mishnah Berurah here is going to be paskening, what's the story, if the first night of Sukkot falls out on Sukkot, what about reciting the Maravios, usually recite on the first night of Sukkot? So he says we don't do that. Let's see. If the first night of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't say these piyutim of Maravios on the first night of Sukkot. Why? Since the community is not accustomed to really reciting it, it's not something that people say all along. It's a unique tefillah and piyut that we say specifically on Sukkot. So we're concerned that perhaps yitlu neros the rosh behen, that perhaps they will take lamps by which to go ahead and see the text of the maravios of the piyut of the poem. Now, this is based on halachas that we learned about in Shabbos, that it's also to use an oil lamp to read a book on Shabbos because we're concerned that one might tilt the lamp to bring more oil to the wick in order to improve the brightness of the light. It's also to make a flame burn more brightly on Shabbos. So that's going to be mavir. Now, normally the rule is that if two people are reading about the same subject, they can use a lamp because if one of them begins to tilt the lamp, the other person will remind him not to do so. However, this kula applies only where both people are reading from the same sefer. They're reading from different books. They can't use a lamp together because then each person does not pay attention to what the other is doing, and there's a concern, okay, to read a book by an oil lamp when you're the only one reading that particular book, and therefore the gzeira applies. Now, this all applies where one is reading a book that he's not familiar with. Halacha we saw in Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Hey Sif Yud there was that if one is generally fluent with the contents of the book and needs to look inside just for certain parts, he doesn't know, so he could use the lamp. So, for example, one can use a lamp to read the standard tefillos from a sitter. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah here states, that the Maravis prayer should not be said on Shabbos because people are not familiar with it, and there's a concern that he's going to go ahead and use the lamp, and once they use the lamp, they might tilt it in order to facilitate reading the tefillah of Maravis. And although there are many people in the shul, okay, that are all reading the same thing, but they're all reading from their own like sidurim, and therefore it's not going to help. Now, it should be pointed out to Mishnah Berurah in Reish Ayin Hey, Sif Ches there, added that they may not even read the piyut by the light of a candle. Now, although some Achronim permit using a candle since there's no concern of tilting, because again, what about a candle? So usually talking here about the oil. You can tilt the oil. But what's the problem if you tilt a candle? You're not going to be over anything. So some achronim allow you to use a candle. Okay? Now, this kula really applies only to an individual who is reading. In our case, since there are many people at shul, if we permit the use of candles, some of the people in the shul might use oil lamps on other occasions and will come to tilt those lamps. Okay? Now, what also should be pointed out is that on a regular Yom Tov, it's permitted to use a lamp to read the Maravios or anything else, because it's permitted to enlarge an existing fire on Yom Tov, and therefore there's no problem with tilting a lamp. Let's continue weiter here. So now, if you didn't say the Maravis on the first night because it fell out on Shabbos, so therefore on the second night, you're going to say the Maravis of Yom Rishon. You're going to say the first day is Piyut. The same thing applies when the seventh day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So on Motzei Shabbos, the Maravis Tefillah will be the one that's associated with the seventh day, because this is the night of the eighth day of Pesach. And the same thing applies to Sivus Torah. On Sivus Torah, if Shmini Atzeres fell out on Shabbos, so we're going to say the Maravis Piyut of Shmini Atzeres on Sivus Torah. Now, why is he saying all this? Because there's an exception to this. Levad, what's an exception to this rule? That we postponed the Maravis that we didn't say on Shabbos because of Shabbos to the second day of Yom Tov. Obviously, we're talking about Chutz Laretz. This is besides the L'Rishon B'Sheni Shel Pesach. L'Rishon B'Sheni of Pesach, first and second days of Pesach in Chutz Laretz, there are two Maravios said, but you can't go ahead if the first night of Pesach fell, if the first night of Pesach fell out on Shabbos, you can't postpone that to the second night. What's the reason? He says you can't. The exception is on the second night of Pesach. Right? This, if the first day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so we're going to recite on the second night of Pesach the Piyut associated with the second night of Pesach rather than the one associated with the first night, because we give what? Preference to that Piyut as it relates to the mitzvah of Svira. Right? Mishum Bikur L'Svira. And then he goes on, Ein Omrim Bamed Madlikin. We do not say Bamed Madlikin when, obviously, we're talking about here, the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Bamed Madlikin, as you know, is the second parak of Mishnayos in Shabbos. And we say this on Friday night because it includes the halachas of candle lighting of Shabbos, as well as the three things that a person should say to his family on Friday just before nightfall. Right? Did you remove Trumas Maestris? Did you make an Erev? Did you light the candles? Okay. Or now. So we don't say Bamed Madlikin when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Truth is, any other time when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, we don't say Bamed Madlikin. Why is this? So this is because Chazal were concerned that if we would say Bamed Madlikin when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, people might mistakenly say, they might also say it when Yom Tov falls out on Friday. And Yom Tov falls out on Friday, we do not recite Bamed Madlikin because it states that one should remind his household to remove Trumas and Maestris from the food needed for Shabbos. Okay? And on Yom Tov, we cannot say this since it is forbidden to do what? To remove Trumas and Maestris on Yom Tov. So, because of the concern that he might mistakenly say it also when Yom Tov falls out on Friday, so we'll never say it on a Yom Tov, even when it falls out on Shabbos, even where principally you could have said it. Was no different than regular Shabbos, Lagabe Bamed Madlikin. And we continue, Vaiter, Sif Beis, Bilvad. So we said in the Racha of Me'ein Sheva, Magin Avos, right? Bidvaro, V'chayeri, Sif Mamaro, Alakadosh, Heikabon. I mean, Yach Li Amo, Yibi, Yom Shabbat, Ketchum, so we only end off with the Kaddish HaShabbos. She says, Sif Katan Beis, Shlo Nitzkina El Avur, Shabbos Bilvad. Because it was only instituted, only for Shabbos evening. Chazal instituted, and on Friday night, after the Amida, we know that the Chazan says a special bracha containing a primary element of each of the Amida's seven brachas, right? The seven brachas at night of Shabbos. And the reason why Chazal added this bracha was because the shuls in those times were located out of the fields, where there were ruach ra, things like that. Chazal were worried that people might come late to daven ma'ariv on Friday night, and those people will remain in shul after everyone else leaves, and will be in danger of being harmed by these ruchos, Chazal therefore instituted that the Chazan says the additional bracha, so that by the time he is finished, the latecomers will have completed their Shmoneh Esrei. During the week, however, there's no requirement to say the additional bracha because people would usually daven at home after completing the day's work. So now, although nowadays shuls are not located in the field, Chazal, their enactment of bracha b'yin sheva remains in force. Now, Chazal instituted this bracha only on Friday night and not on Yom Tov night. And the Sfas Emes explains that on Friday night, it was the minhag to daven Ma'ariv early during the daytime. So there was a concern that people will come late. On Yom Tov, however, Ma'ariv would begin later at nightfall, and people would not come late. So the Shulchan Aruch here, paskin, that when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we say this additional bracha, but in the conclusion of the bracha, Ruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos, we mention only Shabbos and not Yom Tov. One would have thought that we should mention Yom Tov, since the bracha is a condensed version of the Amidah, and the Amidah we mention, in this particular Amidah, we mention both Shabbos and Yom Tov. This one essay we say, Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Vazmanim. So here the Mishnah Berurah explains that no, that's true in terms of Shmoneh Esrei. But since the bracha was instituted only on Shabbos and not Yom Tov, so it has no connection at all to Yom Tov. And even though the bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei was Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Vazmanim, we don't say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Vazmanim at the end of the bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva. Continuing now in the Mishnah Berurah, so it says, B'tor Kasav V'Ava Mikra Kledesh. The Torah writes that we say ba'ava mikra kodesh, with love, a kodesh, right, convocation. We say this during Ma'ariv of the first day of Sukkot. This refers to the regular tefillah service of Ma'ariv of the first day of Sukkot, as well as to all the tefillos of Yom Tov. Okay, and this is not referring to the tefillah recited when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. We're talking here on the regular Yom Tov, and he says that in the part where we say V'titan Lanu, the text reads V'titan Lanu es Yom Chag HaSukkos Hazeh Simchasenu Mikra Kodesh. So the Torah adds the words Da'hava Mikra Kodesh, even on a regular Yom Tov. Uva Minhagim Shalanu Kasev Einom Rava. However, our Minhagim, we write that we do not say Da'ava Mikra Kodesh on a regular Yom Tov, but we only say it, okay, on Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos. Okay? And then the Mishnah Berurah actually says this in Tuf Ayin Ches Aleph. He quotes opinions that we say the word Da'ava both at the beginning of the Titei Lanu and at the end. And Bush discusses there why this is so. Anyway, follow your maser.